Something for the weekend. Good morning. How are you? It is Trina Mara and Alfie Bowes on the line. Morning, Alfie.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I've been doing my research on you, Alfie. I'm stunned to hear that you're the youngest of nine. There's got to be Irish blood in that family if you have so many children in the family.
Definitely, absolutely, definitely Irish Catholic as it gets, probably.
Yeah.
My grandmother is from County Meath originally, so I've got strong Irish roots. My mother was brought us up to know Ireland very well, and we went over there as kids. And yeah, I love it so much.
I'm just thinking, as the youngest of nine children, I'd say you probably had to sing to be heard. Did you? It must have been such a noisy household.
You have to make a noise to be heard over a crowd like that. Really.
So is the story of how you were discovered, is that all a myth? Because I remember hearing about Rick Astley, and he was, you know, the tea boy in the record company, and I never really found out if that was true or not, and he was singing away in someone. But so tell us your story.
Well, I was working in a car factory at the age of 19, and I was already sort of taking part in local amateur operatics, amateur dramatics and things, and doing a few shows here and there. But I'd taken some time off because I was doing an apprenticeship at the car factory, and I wanted to concentrate on that. I remember just getting on my bike in the morning to cycle to work, and just got this huge urge to sing again and to perform. It was just like something that spoke to me in the middle of the night. This is what you're supposed to do, not that. You're supposed to be a singer. Mm. All day long, it was playing on my mind. So I used to sing along to the radio while I was working. And in the factory at the time that I was singing away, I was polishing the car. The guy who bought the car overheard me singing and told me that I had a good voice and that I should do something with it. And he recommended a company in London that were auditioning for their next UK tour, performing a couple of operas. And he said, you should take a day off work and go and do it. I then went to my singing lesson in the evening, and my singing teacher told me exactly the same thing about this audition. So I thought, that's two people telling me to do this. So I took the day off work, and I came down to London dressed in my work gear because I had to go back to Blackpool to do another shift when I got back. And I stood on stage, sang as best I possibly could for this company. They invited me back for a second audition, and then they offered me a place in their chorus to tour the UK and Ireland on their next national tour. So that was really how everything started for me professionally.
Yeah, and what was that show then?
I was in a production of Gilbert and Sullivan's HMS Pinafore and Johann Strauss's Die Fledermaus. So it was really the first sort of full-on professional shows I'd ever done. You know, I'd done a couple of operas in the chorus, and I'd done like scenes from other musicals, but I'd never done a full sort of run of shows. It was wonderful to be a part of that company. I learned so much.
I always think anybody who's doing these shows, I mean, it takes some stamina, doesn't it, to, you know, for the voice to hold out, and the travelling and the not being away and everything. Colin Wilkinson was on the show before a while back. I think he's one of my favourite guests that I've ever had on the show. He's such a great storyteller. Of course, you know Colin as well.
I do, yes.
From the Les Mis collaboration that you did. So that was celebrating the 25 years of Les Mis, wasn't it? Every time I hear Les Mis, I think of a friend of mine called Sean. When the weather is raining outside, he goes, oh God, it's Les Mis outside. But those shows all led to you doing Les Mis.
It did, you know, it really did. I mean, when I was 14 years old, I remember singing Bring Him Home in a sort of Songs from the Shows production that I was doing in my local town. And I never, ever dreamt that I would be stood on stage at the O2 Arena next to Colm Wilkinson singing Bring Him Home. You know, and it was a dream come true. It was wonderful. I love Colm. He was one of the guys that really sort of encouraged me to take on this role as my own. He said, you know, you really have to make this character your own. He said, don't try and do what I did. Don't try and do what anyone else has done. Create it yourself. Make it your own character. Yeah. Make it your own. And I did. And that's, I think, why Les Mis has ran for so long, is because everyone that comes into the shows, into the role, makes it their own, you know, creates something new.
Oh, Colm's great. He's such a warm person as well. So I can just imagine him welcoming you and looking after you as well.
Hopefully he'll be at my concert, you know, when I'm on tour. So hopefully he'll come along. I'll invite him.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
See if he can get up and sing with me.
Yeah. Ring tour all over the world. Your success isn't just in the UK or in Ireland. I mean, you go everywhere, don't you? Looking at, you know, Las Vegas and Tokyo and everything, so that the music travels.
Yeah, it does. I mean, people on the other side of the world love music as well and have embraced what I've done, you know, and especially in Tokyo. Tokyo, they love musical theatre. There's literally a theatre called Theatre Orb, which just embraces musical theatre. The shows that they put on there, the one-off concerts, are all musical theatre based. So they love it. They really do respect that sort of music. And I go back there most of the time, apart from obviously COVID. I wasn't able to travel, but I used to go back every year to perform in Tokyo. And I love that audience. I love the audience there.
The pandemic feels like yesterday, but also 100 years ago.
It was a frustrating time because, you know, when you love to do something so much, you have a passion to perform and to entertain, and to entertain an audience and to deliver music to a crowd and stimulate their emotions, then, and to have that stopped and taken from you, it was very, very frustrating.
Yeah.
And quite depressing for a lot of people. But I think, you know, you have to, at times like that, be inventive and figure out what you can do to keep the flow and keep going.
Well, everyone was jumping online and putting on shows from their kitchen and everything, and I did see yourself and Mr. Gary Barlow.
That's right.
You were giving your living room doing Don't Stop Me Now and the crooner sessions. My God, you're out of breath by the end of that, weren't you? Giving it socks.
It was good. It was fun to do. It was real fun to do.
Yeah.
Sing it, Gary. Come on, man.
Stop me, because I'm having a good time. Having a good time. The sky like the tiger, defying the laws of gravity. I'm a rich car passing by, the lady can dive on. I'm gonna whoa, there's some stopping me. Burning through the sky, yeah. 200 degrees above the coming Mr. Fahrenheit. Driving at the speed of light, I wanna make a supersonic man out of you.
Gary's a good friend. When sort of the isolation restrictions sort of lifted, I was able to put on a show at the Savoy Hotel and invited Gary as one of my guests, and we sang one of his songs as well, which was lovely moment to share with him. So we spent a lot of time getting to know each other and better, because we've been friends for years, and I respect Gary so much.
I followed Take That, I think, since the very beginning, 92 or 93 or something,
right,
as a young one. And then, you know, always kind of, you know, growing up being a teenager, never knew I was going to end up working in radio. And then about 10 years ago, I had the opportunity to interview Gary in person. And like, life was made, because, you know, the way they say, never meet people that you followed when you were younger. No, and, you know, because they could disappoint you. Oh, it was the best day ever. No disappointment. We had such a laugh, because I knew details about himself that he didn't know, all thanks to Smash Hits magazines that used to give us little facts about the singers that we followed back in the day. So there's a man now, Gary Barlow, who lives and breathes music still to this day, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He never stops writing. You know, it's just part of his blood. He just loves to create music and to create song, create melody and poetry. Yeah. And he's very good at it. You know, he does it very, very well.
Yeah, he's all right. He's okay. Yeah. I think he's done pretty well. He's great. But I take it, Alfie, that you live in a detached house, because I can't imagine being the next door neighbour if you're in a terraced house. Would you ever stop? I know you're a best-selling singer, but would you ever stop?
I know. Well, I actually live in a tent in the middle of the field. That's the only way I can
That's
get
the only way.
I'm in a boat in the Pacific at the minute.
You'd need to be. Do you sing in the shower? Is that a silly question to ask?
Sometimes I do. Not when I'm washing my face, the water gets in my mouth and I start singing.
Yeah, I can tell you this much. I am a terrific singer in the shower. I'm like Celine Dion, the lovely acoustics.
Amazing. And
I think I can sing, and then I try and sing in karaoke or something. I remember going on holidays years ago. I think we were in Gran Canaria or somewhere on holidays. And of course, I thought I could sing, because my mother had told me I could always sing. You know, the way mothers do that. And then got up, did the karaoke. And at the end, I was surprised because the man handed me a CD and said, we actually record all the performances. And I played it and I smashed that CD up to bits, because it's quite clear that, my talents do not lie in singing. So, oh God, if only someone had told me before I got up.
But in the show, you're amazing.
In the show, I'm fantastic. Yeah, absolutely brilliant. So you are coming to Dublin. Well, you're doing the National Concert Hall on the 17th of October. So we've plenty of notice to organise ourselves and to get there. Colin Wilkinson, you're going to invite him. Do you think he'll be there?
I hope so. I really do hope so. I'm going to give him a call, drop him a line and see if he'll come along. And if he does, then I'll try and persuade him to get up on stage with me and do a little bit of Les Mis if he's up for it. Or I know he loves his rock music as well, so he may want to join in something else. But just to have him there in the audience will be good enough.
Sure, you can sing anything. I've seen the videos of you. You can adapt to absolutely. You could do the Spice Girls if you wanted to. No bother at all. Yeah. Well, I might put the pressure on Colin. I might have to give him a buzz and say, do you know, Colin, the way you were like one of my favourite guests to ever have on the show, you'd be really helping me out if you did that show. So, look, it's been lovely
there
catching up. Yeah, no problem. I'll let you go, Alfie. I'm sure you're up to your eyes there trying to get organised for this tour. And so it's been lovely to catch up. And we will see you in Dublin at the National Concert Hall on the 17th of October.
Thank you, Trina. Lovely talking to you.
Lovely talking to you. Here, before you go, give us a bit of Lancashire something or other. Give me a saying.
Lancashire something. Oh, my goodness. On the spot. What do I do? E-Bayek.
See you now, Alfie. Bye. It is something for the weekend on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.